Okay, I'm not going to touch anything. It's all normal. It's the way it's always been. Okay, now grab your Bibles and pay attention. I'm grumpy. And if I could see any of you folks, I would probably be grumpy if you're washing dishes or sleeping or vacuuming or reading a book or doing something while you do this. I'd let you know today some of the stuff I'm getting tired of in this world. But anyway, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 21. We've got people that go to that verse all over the place, and they think that they are the anointed ones today. They don't understand that because it says, because if you go to 1 John chapter 2, the definition of his anointed, you don't need anybody to teach you. Well, we don't need anybody to teach us. We don't. But God speaks to us through this Bible, not through our feelings, not through our thoughts. This stuff about having the mind of Christ, we have the mind of Christ in this King James Bible. And I can prove it. Close your Bible for a month and see how you think. You're not going to think like Christ at all. Now, you're going to be thinking like Christ somewhat because Ephesians 4 tells us we've been taught these things of Christ about Paul. But if you didn't know that stuff from a King James Bible, rightly divided, you'd have no idea what's going on. Guess what? These people we're talking with who think they're anointed have no idea what's going on. And they say they're Bible believers. No, they're not. They're Ruckman followers. They're Hiles followers. They're Ruckman imitators. They're Hiles imitators. They're Gip imitators. They think that they've been anointed because they've been taught by the anointed ones. And that's just baloney. Definition of anointed, 1 John chapter 2. The anointing which ye have received with him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. They go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us. Now there's two ways to look at this thing. And I think probably part... The second one is the one that's probably the one that clicks. But he says, he which establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us, could easily be referring to Paul and his guys. Because Paul was anointed in such that he would be able to tell them what God wanted them to know. That's that knowledge in 1 Corinthians 13, 8. And that knowledge was done away with when this Bible came along. 1 Corinthians 13, 10. That which is perfect has come. Perfect meaning complete. Now, if we're waiting for Jesus Christ to come according to verse 10, if that's what you think it is, then prophecy still exists, tongues still exist, and knowledge still exists. Well, of course knowledge exists. Of course prophecies, yes, but they've got to come from this Bible. Without the Bible, which these guys did not have a Bible, God would give it to them. Yet he gave it to them in part. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll make this my sermon this morning and do this under one tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is the great stuff for people say. Verse 6, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not with the wisdom, not the wisdom of the world, but nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. No, verse 9, I'm sorry. But just as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. We wouldn't know that stuff today if it wasn't for the King James Bible. It's verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Okay, this is during Paul's time. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God, to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things to spiritual. But the natural man, there's your lost person, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now you look at those verses, I'll slow down now. You look at those verses, and you look upon yourself as a Christian, as a saved person, then you figure that God has given you all this stuff. He's revealed this all to you. And call anointed if you want. You can go to 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 20, which shows that you've been anointed. And there's no way that Christianity, the true Christians, the Bible-believing Christians, have been anointed with this knowledge that we have. We don't have any knowledge other than through this King James Bible. That's a fact. That's an obvious fact. And even those that have a King James Bible are messing up by combining all the book together and preaching Revelation and Hebrews and James and Peter stuff and Paul stuff and Gospels and this and that. It's just a confusion of mishmash. And that is not, God is not the author of confusion. So God's not doing this to us. This has to be another proof subject to show that 1 Corinthians 13:10 is a King James Bible. Before this book came out, God would tell people things. They would give them that knowledge. We had all these other Bibles before the King James Bible, but none of those Bibles were complete. They weren't perfect. They weren't done. Major changes took place in those things yet. And when Gipps answers a question on TV that says, "Why are we still cutting out?" That's why when Gipp answers a question, "Where was the Bible before 1611? He says, "Well, it was in manuscripts and different little pieces and parchments and stuff." And what a crummy answer. Nobody had a Bible before then. Nobody had that which was complete. Even those Bibles they had in English, the Matthew's Bible and the Great Bible, nobody had a copy. You had to go to the church to get them. Is that the way God operated? No, God would tell people things. So what do we have today? We have a King James Bible. That's the anointed. Sound okay? I'm going to keep going anyway. You can go back to sleep or whatever. I'm going to keep going for the sake of the recording here this morning. So, this anointing, I'm talking with people who really believe that they're anointed. They've got the knowledge. And you show them the Bible and they go, "Well, yeah, that's what it..." No, that's not quite right. And they're crazy. So, it boils down to, we are up against people who think that God is telling them the truth, and they don't care what the Bible says. And this is even the King James guys. They totally believe that Dr. Ruckman was the anointed one, for example, and what he teaches is right. Doesn't matter what the Bible says. You've got the Hiles guys, you've got the Gipp guys, you've got these names all over the place. I can't even think of them anymore. I'm so out of the circle. It's me and my Bible. Yes, I don't need anybody to teach me anything. I've got my Bible. But Paul says that he did give us pastors and teachers. He does have people out there to help us understand these things. And when I preach my sermons and teach my stuff, I'm just showing what the Bible says, based on rightly dividing. That's the divider right there. That's the issue. So now this morning, let's go to this guy. And he copied and pasted. Wednesday night we did part one, where he gave Acts chapter 20, 24 to 36, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, 2 Timothy 3, 13 to 17, 2 Peter 3, 15 to 18. And he used that to put that against his mother, and we went through that thing and just destroyed the fact that that shows that Paul's teachings is perverse. Now we're going to go down another road, he says here, and this is more personal. This is more towards what we're preaching in ministry as such. But here's what he says, part two now. And here, I'll say this again. He says, "May the God of all truth lead you into all truth." Okay, now here we are, preaching the truth of a King James Bible, not my teachings, but the Bible the way it states, and he doesn't recognize the truth. Of course not. He thinks he's anointed. He may not say that, but I had a guy tell me that last night. Yes, I am. And here's one of the things he says. His wife is in deep pain with back pain and all sorts of things, and he's very healthy. And I said, why are you healthy and your wife isn't? Where's this power of prayer? Why has God blessed you but not her? What do you tell her when you say God has blessed me with health? What, has he cursed her with a bad back? And then from that point on, it went downhill. You got the power of prayer. Well, he's prayed hard for him to be healthy, but she doesn't pray hard enough for her to be healthy. And then he said, yes, she doesn't believe hard enough. I said, man, this is charismatic talk is all you're doing. Just charismatic anointing talk. It's just baloney. It gets me stirred up, just like sound issues on Pal Talk. Just stirs me up. Okay, here's what he says. The Apostle, he writes off with agreed, the Apostle Paul was used mightily of God to bring us Gentiles to Christ. Okay, he says he agrees. He doesn't agree. There's a lie right there. He doesn't really agree. The Apostle Paul was used mightily of God to bring us Gentiles to Christ. I'd have to ask him, how do you know that? How do you know that? Well, did God tell you this? It's in your Bible. You read it. You're accepting, supposedly agreeing to the fact that Paul was used mightily of God to bring us Gentiles to Christ. Then he says his epistles are indeed inspired by God and are extremely useful in knowing how to serve the risen Christ. Well, what's his problem then? However, so you always get this however and but that comes in after when a supposedly Christian says something. We cannot forsake the other 39 or so holy men that God used to pen his words. Oh, forsake, in other words, the rest of the Bible. See, here's where people mix up with us anyway. How come Gunkles are red-bald there? Don't need them to be red-bald. And we don't forsake the other writers. We don't ignore the rest of the books. So when we say that we follow Paul only, that doesn't mean we reject the rest of the stuff. Why do they think that? He says, look at Islam, Mormonism, Catholicism, and all the other cults and false religions out there. So he's indirectly saying we're a cult because we reject the rest of the Bible. No, we don't reject the rest of the Bible. Romans 15:4, let's do it again. And you need to have these verses to tell people. You've got to have these verses right here. We don't reject the rest of the Bible. We don't try to apply the rest of the Bible. Otherwise, we'd either be building an ark, we'd be afraid of scorpions, we would be drinking poison, we would be trying to obey the commandments, we'd want to speak in tongues, we'd want to be able to be healed people, we'd want to be able to be healed, which this guy thinks his wife can be healed if she just prays hard enough and believes hard enough. And you believe that you can lose your salvation according to Hebrews chapter 6, but you can also believe that you can't lose your salvation according to Paul's teachings, and you have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which makes you a Christian in the Gospels, and you have to have faith in Jesus Christ and Paul, and you've got to not take the mark, which everybody thinks the mark is out there today, and you've got to obey the commandments, and you've got to have faith, and you've got to have your faith, and everybody ignores the faith of, I mean, it's just a mess. If you try to apply that whole Bible, and the reason people think they can apply the whole Bible is because they don't read the whole Bible to see the confusion that would be there. In the Gospels, their salvation as such was the fact that they believed that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. It's all through John especially, and Acts 8:37. So if you think that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, was the Son of God, then you're a Christian according to the Gospels. Well, that's not according to Paul. And Paul says if anybody teaches anything else, any other gospel than what he teaches, even if it came from an angel from heaven, it's a false gospel. Now, either Paul's right, and the rest of the Bible we don't apply, or we try to apply the rest of the Bible, the Gospels, and Hebrews to Jude, and Paul's wrong. Well, what in tarnation, as they say? I wonder what tarnation means. Wonder, what's Paul doing in our Bible then? What is the purpose of Paul if it isn't to preach the risen Savior and his teachings to the world of the risen Savior? And you cannot mix the teachings of the Gospels with the teaching of Jesus to the Jews with the teachings of Jesus Christ to the risen to the Gentiles. And Jews, of course, but they're not going to get it. But they're welcome to try. And the Gentiles are hardly getting it anymore. And we also know that Romans, I'm just wandering with my attitude this morning, Romans 11:22 tells us that when the Gentiles are done with the goodness of God, God's done to the Gentiles, and he's going to cut off that nation. And that nation, when that nation is cut off, it's called the tribulation. And salvation of the tribulation is based on faith, your faith, not his faith, your faith, and obeying the commandments and not taking the mark. And when you mess up, you confess your sins. When you mess up with Paul's time, with the dispensation of grace that we're in today, we don't have to confess. There's nothing to confess. All things are lawful. But now I'm just rambling. But now these people that think that we are being chastised by God or blessed of God, they don't realize that our works, God doesn't judge our works right now, whether they're good or bad, or whether we be chastised or blessed. Our works are not being judged until the judgment seat of Christ. It's that simple. So we can get away with murder. Well, doesn't mean we should, but all things are lawful. And that act of anything that we're doing that's wrong will burn up in the judgment seat. Our works are judged in the judgment seat, not today. And look at it this way. If our works were judged and we'd be chastised or blessed, you know what we'd have? We'd have signs. We'd be able to follow a sign. No, we can tell what we're doing right or wrong by a King James Bible, by Paul's teachings. We're going to be judged by the gospel. Jesus Christ is going to be our judge, but he says we're going to be judged by what Paul teaches. Not what Jesus taught to the Jews. We're not going to be judged. We're not going to be held accountable for the Beatitudes. It's not going to happen. We're going to be held accountable for what Paul teaches. And until the judgment seat of Christ, nothing's going to be chastised or blessed physically. Now, we get chastised when we read the Bible. The noise that you're hearing is the snowplow behind me in the corner here. So let's get on here with this thing. I've got some other questions I'll save them for tonight's message if we get this thing figured out. But we're going to let's get on to this thing here. So this guy says that we are forsaking their other writers. Romans 15:4. Now hear these verses. Mark these verses. Do something with these verses, because these are verses. These are the two verses we need to tell these people. No, we don't cut out the rest of the Bible. The hypers maybe do. There may be people that teach this, but I'm not. We're not. And my list on here: Little House, Floyd's, KJV Girl, Samson, and White Cottons, Brian, Adriana, Gunkles. We don't ignore the rest of the Bible, not at all. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. I've got 2 years worth of teaching from the Old Testament and Hebrews to Jude. We don't forsake the rest of these writers and ignore them. We just don't try to apply their teachings to us. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the worlds are come. So there's a reason to go back to the gospel. There's a reason to go back to the Old Testament. There's a reason to go to the Hebrews to Jude. By the way, Hebrews to Jude is still going aforetime. Hebrews to Jude was written before Paul's epistles were written. So we are going. I gotta shut my window. This guy must be just parking out here with his snowplow or something here. Why do you have your window open when it's snowing?
Yeah, nice, cool, fresh air.
Okay, here we are. We're back. We're back. I probably bumped something now by moving around. Okay. And 2 Timothy 3:7 talks about people who are ever learning. These guys are learning, but they're not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And Paul's teachings takes us to the knowledge of the truth. So we read the Gospels to find out what Jesus did. He came down to this earth. He was the Messiah to the Jews. We read all about how that took place, where Jesus came from. He was God manifest. Oh, Paul talks about that. Here we go. Back to these Mormonism, Catholicism, Islam, and other cults. He says, their greatest common denominator, one of the things I recognize, by the way, these people that put this stuff out, their spelling is atrocious. Not that education is the answer to things, but it shows me some things about education that some people don't have. Their greatest common denominator is this. They reject on some level the Word of God. Now, we're not rejecting the Word of God. But the right to divide that thing, there's things written to us. Those are Paul's teachings. He tells us to follow the risen Savior. He tells us to follow Him as He follows Christ. Christ is the risen Savior term. We don't reject the rest of the Word of God. Then he says a really stupid statement. Now, obviously, Mormonism and Catholicism holds the Bible in much higher esteem than Islam. Well, Mormonism and Catholicism, are you kidding? Mormonism has their own books. Talk about rejecting the Bible. In Catholicism, they got to have Mary and what their priests say. They don't want you to have a Bible. They've never wanted you to have a Bible. Now, there's a guy that's already been suckered into the modern ecumenical stuff. Okay, so we don't reject the Word of God. We don't reject some level the Word of God. We accept it all. We apply what Paul teaches. That's all. The rest is there for learning. The point is, he says, once you leave out the entire Word of God, including the Gospels, the Law, the Prophets, and just focus your attention and energy on one part of the Bible and count all other parts as irrelevant, who says that? This mother never says that to him. We never say that, irrelevant. Then you are in great danger of embracing false doctrine, he says. Our attention and energy should be on Paul's teachings. That's the manner of life that we're supposed to learn to live in our life. But the rest of the Bible is irrelevant? Who says that it's irrelevant? But we're not going to be judged for it. We're not going to be held accountable for it. We read the rest of the Bible for our learning. Okay. Oh, we lost the false guy on that stuff. See, they can't take it. They can't put up with this stuff. That's just irritating, you know. Then he goes on. He goes to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Now, why would he quote that one? Why are you guys getting red-balled here? I don't understand that here. Okay? So why does he think, I will also reject thee? Okay, so because we're rejecting the rest of the Bible in his eyes, then he says that God's going to reject us because we don't know enough. And here's this guy that thinks God has given him that knowledge. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. What? The law of thy God was taken care of. Romans chapter 10, verse 3 and 4. Jesus Christ took care of that law. And right now, all things are lawful. But if you rejected the law in the first place in the Gospels, which a lot of people do, and in the Old Testament, then yeah, you're not going to get saved because you don't realize you're a sinner. You don't learn about Adam. You don't learn about sin. But for him to throw this at her because she's forgotten the law of thy God, and then he says, I will also forget thy children. Does this guy not recognize the fact that he is this lady's child? And this is a guy that's rejecting the knowledge, the learning that Paul wants this guy to get. He's doing the very thing he's accusing us of. That's rejecting the Bible in various portions and claiming the knowledge that he has. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's this guy. Okay, then he goes to 1 Peter. And then when I see people go to 1 Peter thinking, oh, here they go, they're going to Peter. And it's very simple, and you guys know this, Galatians chapter 2. Peter is the apostle to the circumcision. It's that simple. Paul's the apostle to the uncircumcision. And Peter was written before Paul's stuff. It's just, there it is. And we did learn last week that the last part of Peter tells us that what Paul wrote to the Jews, which would be Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and the people during the tribulation try to take Paul's stuff, and it doesn't make sense to them. It's hard on them. And I was reminded, I preached one time, and I guess I must have, that when the tribulation comes along, then these preachers are going to start preaching God's grace to trick people into thinking they don't have to confess their sins. They're going to preach tomorrow what we're preaching today, and what people are preaching today is what they're supposed to be preaching tomorrow. You get that? That makes sense? Because that's in 2 Peter. Might as well point it out, though, for some of the newbies that haven't been here lately. Ha-ha-ha. 2 Peter, he says... where's this thing at here? 2 Peter here. I think it's 2 Peter chapter 3. An account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. That'd be the book of Hebrews. As also in all his epistles, speaking of them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. And they're trying to apply Paul during the tribulation. And so what Paul writes to the Jews during the tribulation is in Hebrews, not his epistles. Marvelous stuff, isn't it? Just marvelous stuff. I just kicked my cable. I hope the sound is still there. Here we go. Keep going. Okay. So he goes to Peter, and all I can say is, listen, Peter's not written to us Gentiles, period. But let's go through it anyway, and maybe we can help him see some things. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, you know, Christ did do that for us. He took care of those things. We still have them. We shouldn't, but that's our flesh. It's not us anymore. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Paul talks about growing, not a problem. Ephesians 4:13, 1 Corinthians 13:11. I mean, we grow as a Christian. But I have learned and preached that there's nothing difficult to understand in a rightly divided Bible. There's no need, there's not even a threat of private interpretation with a rightly divided Bible. But if you combine them all into one big book that's written all to us that we have to obey the whole thing, then you come up with private interpretation. Then you come up with confusing teachings. And you come up with people who don't understand how this verse is. Matter of fact, this guy wrote to me a couple times. He mentioned some verses in Peter. And he said, this verse I don't understand, but I believe it. What is that? What kind of a dumb statement is that? That sounds like those guys that are worshiping the unknown God. We don't know if this is true or not, but we're going to do this. Verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Because it says in Hebrews that if you taste it and you get rid of it, you can never get it back. That's Jewish talk right there. But it gets even better right here. To whom coming as unto a living stone, the stone, get a concordance and check out this word stone, and you're going to find all this cornerstone stuff, all this stone of stumbling. This was all to the Jews. Or built up a disallowed deed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Oh, so these people think that we're chosen of God as Gentiles. We're not chosen of God. We choose God. He chose his people. This is all Jewish talk. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Now, we go back to this thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. So this guy says that this stuff about we are lively stones. We ourselves, the Gentiles, we're the lively stones. And we're not. This is not talking about us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul does talk about the stones, though, the stone. He does? Yes, he does. Look at this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So Paul says Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. Okay, so if Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and we are his children today now, we are his believers as such, then we also should be those stones. And so this applies to us. No, it doesn't apply to us. Not at all. Look at Romans chapter 9, verse 32. Romans chapter 9, verse 32. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Jews there. As it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion, a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Sure, but it doesn't say they're confounded. So Paul knows that these people, the Gentiles, are going to believe in this cornerstone, but all the cornerstone talk is about the Jews. And I'll show you why this is not the Gentiles. Let's go back to 1 Peter, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe he is precious. We did do a sermon study back in Tushy a couple of years ago that what's precious is the Word of God. Not this precious Lord Jesus that this syrupy modern world swoons and oohs and ahs over. But anyway, which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, that's works when you talk about being disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. This is all gospel talk. Go through Matthew. It talks about the stone all the time. Now here we go. We're getting closer to the giveaway here. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumbled at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. We weren't appointed to anything. And yes, people stumble at his word, and they're disobedient. Sure they do. And yes, Christ is a stone of stumbling to people today. No problem. But the references, all the stuff is to the Jews. For example, verse 9. Here's the big verse. Verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are a people, now the people of God. These guys think that he's talking about the Gentiles here. And there's no way. Verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation. Did he choose us? No, he didn't. Holy nation, the Gentiles ever been a holy nation? As a nation? No. Peculiar people, show forth their praise? Sure. Did God call them out of darkness? He sure did. Which in time were not a people? Sure weren't. Before Abraham. Then it became the people of God. That is not referring to the Gentiles. Let's see if I can find this thing here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2. I've got to get there myself. 1 Peter chapter 2, because I think it's just right after that, but I've got to make sure before I say anything here. I'm checking here. See if I can find a verse I'm thinking of here. I don't suppose I can. Yes. Look at chapter 2, verse First Peter chapter 2, look at verse 12. Yeah, it's just below where we're at right now. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. So if he's talking to the Gentiles here, why would you say among the Gentiles? It's the Jews that are supposed to have a conversation honest among the Gentiles. Oh, it just irks me that these people think that Peter's written to us. Besides that, that's Catholic. They follow Peter, sort of, kind of, not really, but that's who they say they follow. It's just amazing. Here's this copy, paste, and sender guy that pops the stuff out of Peter, and it exposes him for being one without the knowledge. He's the one that's rejecting parts of that Bible. He's rejecting Paul's teachings, and he's going to Peter's teachings, which is tribulational stuff. So anyway. So here's what he says in his conclusion to his mother. As priests of God, we must have knowledge of God. Well, first of all, we aren't priests. That's a tribulational thing. We are like priests in the fact that we can go to God face to face in our Bible reading and our prayers. But nowhere are we called priests except in the tribulation. The priesthood of the believers is a Baptist teaching. So then they think because they're priests of God, they're anointed, and nobody can teach them anything. That's how stubborn these people are. We must have knowledge of God. Where would they have knowledge of God if it wasn't for that King James Bible? Even these atheists that hate God, which is funny because if they hate God, then they must be admitting the fact that he's real. They just don't like him. How can they hate something that doesn't exist if they don't believe he exists? Why do they have a hatred towards anything like that? Atheists are a bunch of flakes too. That knowledge comes only by reading God's entire word, he says. Well, yeah. Who says anything differently? The knowledge of God. You read the knowledge of God in the Old Testament, you read how he handled the law, how he had to kill people because they were not clean. Gave them the tabernacle to get cleaned up. You go to the Gospels, and Jesus Christ is there to fulfill the law. They followed Jesus Christ. They had to fulfill the law with him. And they all forsook him at the end. You go to Peter, God goes to Paul to reach out to the Gentiles. God goes to Paul to write something to the Jews for the tribulation. Then he goes to Peter to teach the Jews how to get through the tribulation. That's the knowledge of God. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ, of which Paul says, don't be ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. But it isn't just Gospels. Jesus was who Moses saw when he saw the hind parts. Jesus just wasn't God come in the flesh yet, manifest in the flesh yet. Jesus has a testimony in the Gospels. Jesus has a testimony during the Great Commission. Jesus has a testimony during Paul's times. Jesus has a testimony during the tribulation, in the second coming. Jesus has a testimony of the millennium and eternity. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of that. But to say that we only get it out of the Gospels, they're nuts. Then he says, again, I repeat the words of the prophet, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Okay, that's true. But this guy doesn't have any brains. This guy has no knowledge. He doesn't understand that he's supposed to be listening to Paul. Because he's rejecting parts of that Bible. People don't know the Word of God. Hello, stand in front of a mirror. And so they believe all kinds of lies from the pit of hell. Oh, so you're telling your mother now that what she believes about Paul is a lie from the pits of hell. Is that what you're saying? That's exactly what he's saying. Isn't that amazing? If one does not read the Bible as a whole, never said you shouldn't, he'll be swayed by false doctrine. You read the Bible as a whole, you will find all the false doctrines that are out there. Paul especially exposes all the religions and the folly of modern Christianity and all the cults. They're also all exposed by the Bible. I say this hoping you will not be angry or offended, he says, and I hope you do not feel like I'm not being kind. I must, however, declare what Scripture teaches, regardless of how a person may react or what kind of person they perceive me as, even though I must admit that sometimes it is a struggle to come out of my shell and declare because I don't want people to think I am a meanie. M-E-A-N-Y, I'm a meanie, so to speak. Well, even that is not biblical. Paul was loved less because he loved abundantly, more abundantly. Paul was called an enemy. Paul said we're going to suffer persecution. So if we're going to try not to say something to somebody so we hurt their feelings, we're not doing the way Paul tells us to be a witness. We don't need to be out there and be rude and crude. He tells us to be meek with these people and teach them the Bible. Don't need to scream and yell and pound people. But we also don't need to be afraid of how they're going to think of what we show them. And this guy's afraid that he would offend us. I wish this guy had the guts to type to me and call me. Anyway, just amazing. He says, let's see here. So what does he do? He just copies and pastes, and he sends stuff out. He has no idea what he's saying. And what he copied and pasted and sent to his mother exposed him for what he is. He is a Bible rejecter. He has a lack of knowledge. And as he learns, he's not ever getting the knowledge of the truth. He's a classic cut and paster, I call him. And he thinks he's anointed. These people are thinking they are. Now, we had a horrible start this morning. And I don't know what the deal is, but we'll figure it out. I hope it's still working. I don't even know if it's still working now. So, there it is. We'll come back tonight. Mark pulled off and got off totally. I don't understand how Mark could be messing up our sound. But he says he was. So, I don't know. So there you go, folks. There's the comments towards a copy, paste, and sender. And I hope the mother that hears this and takes these notes and has something to say back to this guy. But it won't do any good. I guarantee it won't do any good unless the guy has a heart, unless the guy really wants to learn the truth, but he doesn't believe his Bible is the Word of God. So you can't show him in something he doesn't believe to be the Word of God. You know, and that rings a bell somewhat of the Gospels. If God didn't show these people that Jesus came from the Father, he was the Son of God. Remember when Peter said, "You're the Son of God," and Jesus said, "No, Peter, don't go tell anybody. My Father must tell them. Then they can believe." If Peter told them, they wouldn't believe. They couldn't believe. It's just like today. We have to believe that this Bible is the Word of God. And that Bible will open up your heart and it will show you some things on a daily basis. So if you don't believe this Bible is the Word of God, which these people don't, you show them something, it doesn't click. Just like Jesus told Peter, if you tell somebody, it's not going to click. God the Father must tell them. So it's not us. We plant and water the seed, but Christ is the one that gives it. God is the one that gets in, that makes the increase, gives the increase. And that increase is going to come from the Scriptures, from the Bible. And this Bible has been rejected in this country, in this world. And so they're not going to hear from God. Ever learning. Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what's going on. People can have a King James Bible. They can say it's the Word of God, but they don't believe it. It's a confusing book. They don't read it. They listen to somebody else preach about it. And you just look at yourself. How much are we still trying to fight with our religion that we've had in our past? See, we've got a lot we still have to unlearn. We just need to show them the Bible. Show them how rightly dividing eliminates confusion. And then we need to live it so people see it. But remember, that's going to make them mad. We'll take the persecution for it. How much longer can we put up with it? Well, I don't know. There's so few people interested in the goodness of God based on a King James Bible rightly divided. I think the Gentile nation is about to get cut off. That means a rapture for us and a tribulation for everybody else. Maybe it's because I'm living in a conservative part of the country with good people who have no idea what the Bible says, and so they have another Jesus, another spirit, another gospel. How about where you live? I know some of your family. Not all of us, our families don't believe this stuff because they've been taught a religion. How'd you get out of it? Because you're anointed? No. You believe the Word of God was the King James Bible. And then it started to open up to you. And it still does. But we find ourselves too busy to read it still. We're not much better than the Gentiles that are out there. We're the Church of God. We've been separated. But anyway, we'll see if this thing works better tonight. We'll talk to you all tonight.